1-800-836-9278. Now, the World Council of Churches. You've heard of those guys? The WCC and also the NCC, the National Council of Churches. Well, they had an international conference on, well, they called it Beyond September 11th. Now, what does that title of a conference sound like to you? Beyond September 11th? It sounds to me like they're saying, look, America, get over it, huh? And you know what? That's what the conference was about. It was to discuss the war on terrorism. It was a shameful display of pacifism, anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism. The World Council of Churches. What groups are members of the World Council of Churches? Well, not the Southern Baptist. No good Southern Baptist would be caught dead at a WCC conference. But the American Baptist, you know, the group that's pro-homo, pro-abortion, the American Baptist, they're members. And the Episcopal Church, they're members. And the United Church of Christ, USA, they're members. And the United Methodist Church, they're members. Other groups, too. National Baptist Convention. Who else? Presbyterian Church, USA. Sort of scary. Religious Society of Friends. They're all messed up, those people. I'm just looking at a list of their members here. Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. Can't those people make up their minds? Are they Methodist or Episcopal? You get some of these churches that have seven nouns in their name. Let's see. Apostolic Catholic Assyrian Church of the East. African Methodist Episcopal Church. African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church. So these groups are all part of the World Council of Churches, and some of these groups, so it was a Condemn America First conference, Condemn Israel Second conference, and some of them blamed the United States, like blaming the victim for the terrorist attack, and they say it's our fault because we support Israel. You see, because the Bible speaks so much of Israel and that God had chosen Israel, people just have this hatred for the Jews and for Israel. Because there's something in the human race, a natural enmity toward God. And, hey, God has had serious problems with Israel. There's no doubt about that. You can read all about that in the plot manuscript that we sell here. But anyway, because we support Israel... Hey, and I support Israel and against the Palestinian terrorists. And also, they blame us because of the economic impact of the United States in globalization. Now, what in the world does that mean? These globalization protesters? What in the world are they talking about? What, because we give jobs to poor people around the world? Right? When the United States interacts with people around the world, we give them jobs. When we buy their natural resources, if we buy minerals that they dig up out of the ground, we give them jobs, revenue. When we sell them things that they can't make for themselves, like let's say we sell food to the Russians because they're communists, they have a hard time feeding themselves. Oh, I know, they're supposedly former communists now. They're working on that. So, the United States helps the world economically. The United States is the wealthiest nation in the world, and I'd rather work for a rich person than a poor person. Because a poor person can't feed himself, never mind employees. Poor people don't have employees. Wealthy people have employees and help others get ahead. So I'd rather live near rich people than poor people if I'm looking for a job. So the poor nations of the world should want to be friends with the United States. Some of the groups, the members of the World Council of Churches, they've even stated that they understand the motivation of the terrorists. How's that one? That sounds like Sarah from Indiana a few months back. Yeah, she really got me mad. If I was at this World Council of Churches conference, I'd get really mad. When they began to defend the motivation of the terrorist, oh, we understand your rage and your desire to kill children. We understand. Ugh, makes me sick. Too much love in the world. You know, the Beatles said all you need is love. And then they broke up. They hated one another. But all you need is love. No, you need justice, too. Bob Enyart, this is a commercial break. I'll give you our phone number. You can order the plot, 1-800. No, let me get, that's the call-in line, 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-888-836-9278. 1-888-8-ENYART. You can order the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. We've been selling the plots, right? We just told our Minolta double-sided three-hole punch printer to print another 60 copies, 330 pages? Imagine printing 60 copies, 330 pages, double-sided, three-hole punch. It's a challenge just printing it. And we sell them, and we want to thank those of you out there who have bought it, the wonderful comments we receive from all over the country. When you become a Christian, a lot of people dig right down into the details, try to figure out, well, what's all this eschatology stuff about? Eschatology, even the word is hard to spell. What does it mean? Well, forget eschatology. Just get into soteriology. Oh, no, forget that. Public school teachers listening don't know what that is. The first thing you do is you start with an overview of the whole Bible. Then you dig into the details. If you don't have an overview, the details will confuse you. So when you go to Sunday school or you go to a Bible study, open the Bible and read, try it tonight. Try it after the show. Open the Bible, read one chapter, and ask yourself if you understood the whole chapter. If there are details that are confusing, if it seems to blatantly contradict the things that you believe, maybe it's because you're weak on the overview of the whole Bible. So you call us and you order the plot. It's a lot of fun. Money back guarantee. And we have it on audio tape. Audio tape. You can call us 1-888-836-9278 and sign up for the plot, the monthly Bible studies. For $24.95 a month, we automatically will mail you the four Bible study tapes each month. Now, some people signed up a few years ago, and they're at the head of the pack. We call that group the head of the pack. And it's really hard to keep up with the head of the pack. Because time waits for no man. And every month, there's supposed to be four more tapes. And if I travel or there's a holiday or sometimes it's difficult to keep up. But if you sign up now, you've got plenty of tapes ahead. Come a lot of fun, entertainment, Bible study. So call and sign up, 888-8-ENYART. All right, so 1-800-8-ENYART, that's the news on the World Council of Churches. And none of the meeting's participants support the U.S. war on terror. I tell you, don't you think they could use some diversity at that meeting? If everybody walks in lockstep. And they talk about, you know what's funny? They say the United States should give more foreign aid and we should do away with capitalism. Now, those two goals are mutually exclusive. Countries that don't have capitalism can't afford to give foreign aid. But these people are wrong on both counts. The government should give no foreign aid. If there are people halfway around the world who are in need, then Americans could give willingly. From my hand to your hand, my family to your family, my church to your church. Oh, yeah, but then maybe some pagan homosexual group won't get fully funded. if the government doesn't give foreign aid, well, it should be private. The government should not take money by force and give it out in charity. That's not the role of the government, to give charity. So anyway, and they want to do away with capitalism. That's, the word is actually freedom. Capitalism, the actual, what they really mean is freedom. Do away with freedom. If you want to make something like lemonade and sell it through your business like a lemonade stand and set your own price like 50 cents and keep your profits like 12 cents per cup, liberals say, no, you can't do that. That's called freedom. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to regulate you. Oh, brother. All right, so be careful. If you belong to a bad church, you're the money you give in the collection plate, very well, a percentage of it could go to the World Council of Churches or the National Council of Churches. Big trouble. And then your money will be used to promote abortion and homosexuality and evolution and communism and socialism and anti-Americanism and pro-Palestinian terrorism. Any other ism we should throw in there? All right, let's go to the phones. 800-8-NYART, Elbert County. What a great place to live. Elbert County. James, speak your mind. Colorado.
God love it. How's it going today, Bob?
It's going well, James.
Man, I really love a man like yourself that isn't battling any issues. You know right where you're going, right where you're coming from. I like that.
All right, James.
You know what I'm saying? We need more men like ourselves out there.
All right. I'm glad to hear we're on the same side.
Yeah, it's hard-hitting stuff, but I really like it myself.
Okay.
A lot of guys just think it. They don't have the intestinal fortitude to come right out and say it like you do, Bob.
Well, I appreciate,
really appreciate that, man.
All right. Now, are you getting ready to slam me?
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't do that on the radio. I don't even know you yet.
Okay.
I'd have to meet you personally before I do that.
All right. Well, no, you're cordially invited, James. If I make a mistake on the air, you could call up and slam me.
Well, it may be a difference of opinion. It may not be,
that's true. Yeah, sometimes there are things that are just, you know, difference of opinion. And other times there are things that are really destructive and wrong. And that's when we need to confront one another. But, James, thank you very much.
Well, I'll take that offer, and if I have to take you up on it, you'll hear more from me.
Okay, sounds good.
Have a great weekend in the Lord.
All right, God bless you.
Yeah, buddy. Right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. What a nice guy. 1-800-8-NYART. You know, Elbert County, that's way out there. That's way southeast of Denver. Elbert County, you know, Parker, a rural, you know, the ultimate wealthy, nice suburb where Parker High School, where the public school newspaper took a poll and asked their students if you would kill someone. If you can get away with killing someone, would you do it? That's Parker High School, beautiful suburb of Denver, in the beautiful rolling hills and pine trees. And just over a third of the girls said yes. This is the girls who attend Parker High School, the public school. Yes, if I could get away with it, I would kill someone. And just over half of the boys said, yes, I would kill someone if I could get away with it. Even asking the question was destructive. It's called non-directive psychoanalysis. You don't ask important moral questions in an amoral context. You don't do that. You just don't do that. But the public school system does it all the time. And they don't realize mostly because they're stupid, but they don't realize that asking moral questions and prefacing it by saying there are no right or wrong answers. Let's go a little bit north of Parker High School, go into Aurora, Smoky Hill High School, another beautiful suburban neighborhood area. And there, an English teacher, a history teacher, handed out 100 questions to his class. And the questions, it said at the top, there are no right or wrong answers. And some of the questions were things like, if you met a stranger on an airplane and he offered you $1,000 to have sex, would you do it? Now, what is an English teacher or a history teacher? Where does he come off asking questions like that to the boys and girls in his class? He should be flogged at the minimum, flogged. And you know what? So many public school teachers are perverts who get turned on by talking to their students about sex. And you doubt that this guy class, you know, he qualifies in that category? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, now, somebody instant messaged me at kgovlive@aol.com, and they're saying, yeah, the liberals would rather have us starve people from other countries rather than oppressing them by giving them jobs. Exactly. You know, if Nike is going to manufacture shoes in Thailand and they're offering $1.20 a day wages, and there's 20 openings in a factory and 400 people come out for the job, the $1.20 a day is really good pay. It's really good pay. And so Nike is condemned by liberals for offering good opportunity to poor slobs who live in Thailand who go out of their way to get a $1.20 a day job. The liberals, well, they're stupid. If Nike said, well, you know, we've got money, let's give them $20 a day. How would that affect their community? How do you think it would affect their community? $20 a day. Well, the local businesses, the people who sell milk, they're not going to want to sell it for 7 cents a gallon anymore, because some people work at Nike and they'd be willing to pay a buck. So it would unnaturally inflate prices all around that Nike plant so that it would make the other people really, really difficult and poorly off, be in big trouble. So anyway, economies have to grow, and they have to grow rationally. And if Nike paid people $20 an hour when the going wage was $2 a day, that would basically function very similarly to welfare. And it would mess up their economy in the same way that welfare messes up an economy. Not quite as bad, but almost. All right, let's go to... Let's see here. Oh, yeah, New York, after September 11th, there was a credit union that realized immediately after September 11th, they realized that their ATMs would not function properly, that because one of their computer systems was damaged, there was no security check. If people put in their ATM card, they can get out more money than they actually have in their accounts. So what the credit union decided to do, not understanding human nature, the credit union decided that they would allow the ATMs to stay open so they didn't cause problems for victims and family members of the World Trade Center collapse. Now that sounds really nice, right? The problem is they were robbed to the tune of $15 million because it quickly became known around New York City that the municipal credit union ATM machines were just dishing out money. And people could get $500 every day for a period of weeks. So how many people have done this? Well, so far, about 100 people are being sought for stealing $500 a day. As many as 4,000 people robbed money of at least $1,000. How's that one? And these stupid people, so they know who they are. They just, you have $80 in your bank account, you withdraw $500. The next day, $500 more. The next day, every day, $500 more. So anyway, what a shame. Prime example of no good deed goes unpunished. It's human nature. People don't forgive the ones they hurt. So, you know, the thieves will be condemning the credit union. Guaranteed. Guaranteed they're going to condemn the credit union. How dare they? Don't they know? Whatever. Okay. Now, I want to get to the conservative editor-in-chief of World Magazine, Marvin Alasky, in this Canadian magazine interview. The magazine is called The Report, and this is from July 22nd, 2002. And he was asked, and it's about faith-based welfare programs, where the government uses the church as the middleman, so that the Bush administration wanted a way to get churches to be more supportive of a socialist government and a welfare state. So the Bush administration figured that, well, if we let the churches be the middleman to give out welfare checks and services, well, then the churches will support our socialist programs and we'll be able to raise taxes to fund these programs. So anyway, they asked Marvin Alasky a question about government funding versus individual funding. And being a conservative Christian, he had an interesting answer. Hey, Bob Enyart here. And let's see, I've already told you about our plot and the audio tapes, the monthly Bible studies. And that's the best thing somebody can get from us if they want to have an ongoing monthly infusion of Bible study material. Just automatically, once a month, around the middle of the month, you get your Bible study tapes in the mail. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. You start out with an overview of the whole Bible, and then you get into the different books of the Bible. And then from time to time, we'll do something like Nicer Than God or Predestination and Free Will. Then we'll go back to the books of the Bible, and we do the Gospel of John and all of Genesis, Exodus, Corinthians, go back and forth between the Old and New Testament, Revelation, 1 Samuel, Jonah and Nahum, Deuteronomy. It's so enjoyable. It's just a kick. So give us a call. You could order the monthly Bible study tapes, 1-888-836-9278. Now, someone called. Was it today? And canceled the monthly Bible study tapes? Was that today? He called up. Now, he's been... His credit card automatically has been charging $24.95 a month to get them for Bible study tapes. And he said he's been doing that for so long. He has hundreds of tapes, and he still has a few, you know, maybe a few dozen to listen to that he hasn't gotten to yet. So what he wanted to do is give $250 toward KGov for the next year so we could stay on the web. We're trying to raise $6,500. And he said, I'd like to double the $24.95 to $50 a month. So up that to $50 a month, but I don't need any Bible studies for now. When I get done listening to ones I have, I'll call you. That's the kind of cancellation that is not painful. That's incredible. That is just absolutely incredible. You know, my mom moved to Colorado to help us out, to help the ministry grow. And they're building a townhome, her and Pops, right two blocks from here, from the studio. And she just, every day, she says, the people who call, the wonderful things they say, the ministry that's going on, just praise the Lord. So thank you guys. Okay, we're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. So I have this article here from this Canadian magazine called The Report. Okay. And so the reporter asked Marvin Alasky, Christian conservative editor-in-chief of World Magazine, asked, in an ideal world, would individuals fund welfare programs directly, or would money that the government now spends be redirected through church groups? Okay. And so how it should work is that when charity should be freely given. Otherwise, it's not charity. It's something else. But charity should come from a cheerful giver giving out of the love in his heart toward others in need. When charity is given like that, typically it does more good than when it's bureaucracy. But it, so that's how it should happen. Here's Marvin Alasky's answer. He said the basic principle should be that the time and money should come from individuals and be directed by individuals or volunteers working together as churches or institutions. All right. And that's, you know, that's pretty good. The emphasis, he implies, though, that the money should flow through institutions. And that's not very good. The money is way more effective when you give to people in need. The effectiveness is probably tenfold improved when it does not go through an institution. When it's from you to the people in need, because then you interact with those people. If your church has a food program, how many people in the audience attend a church that has a food bank? All right, people in the studio audience, if your church has a food bank, raise your hand. People out in radio land, if your church has a food bank, raise your hand. Let me count right now. One, two, three. Okay, about 480 of you go to churches where they have food banks. And here's my prediction. Your food bank ministry is not incredibly effective. Now, why would I say that? Well, when there are people in need, and I have taken my own money or my own time and helped to feed them, I can have this significant influence on them. But when you have an institution, even a local church, and they're going to feed people. Well, one local church, I know they have about 50 to 100 families come one night a week and pick up baskets, bags of food. And it's really hard for the workers of the food bank to interact with 50 to 100 families coming through in an hour and a half. That's really hard. It pretty much doesn't happen. It's pretty much ineffective. So love, it's hard to bundle up love in an institution and let the institution dish out the love. That's hard. Anyway, Marvin Alasky says, he says, if liberals on the left are concerned that doing it this way through individuals would cause us to spend less money on the poor. Now listen to this. Marvin Alasky says, if doing it this way would cause us to spend less money on the poor, then I would say, this is a conservative Christian, the editor of World Magazine, then I would say, let's have the government decide the amount, how much we should each give to the poor, and then leave it up to us individuals to decide how it should be spent. How's that for conservatism? See what passes as conservatism today? What, that the government is going to decree your alms to the poor? How's that one? That's a crack-up. Marvin, you're a crack-up. The government is going to say, okay, all right, Dwayne Hostetler in Indiana, you have to give 18% of your paycheck every week to the poor. And Dwayne will say, right. Yeah, right. 18%? You're going to have to take it from me. And so that's why they do. They take it from you. What a shame. God said if the government takes 10%, that it's a tyrannical government. 10% is tyrannical. Our government takes 50% of what you make. Whatever you make, if your family takes in $30,000 a year, if the government was godly based on biblical principles, you would instantly go to an effective $60,000 a year income. Instantly. Instantly, your income would double. Because your tax rate would go from 50% down to 5%. And the prices of everything would drop. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado. Keisha, speak your mind.
I have a question.
Okay, Keisha, could you lower your radio?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Why are you surprised when the world acts like they do?
Good question. Keisha, I should totally expect the world to do all these things, right?
Yes.
Why is that? Why should I expect it?
Because they're not Christians.
The world is not Christian. That's true. And all these churches are not Christian. Like the United Methodist Church, they're not Christian.
The Roman Catholics.
Well, the Roman Catholics, they got problems. We talked about that a couple nights ago. Yeah, there's all kinds of churches, people going to church who don't love God. Pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, pro-socialism, pro-terrorism. Ugh, what a mess. Okay, but Keisha, right now I'm talking about Marvin Alasky, who's the editor of one of the largest Christian magazines in the country. And he says here that the government should decide how much money your family gives to the poor. Does that sound like a Christian conservative idea to you?
I don't think so.
No. A godly idea would be that God teaches people to be concerned for the poor, and they should use their own wisdom to decide how much or in what way to help the poor people around them.
Well, I think people will always be poor regardless of the fact how much you give to them.
You know what? You're right. And guess who said that? Guess who said that, that we'll always have poor people?
Jesus.
Yeah, you got it. No wonder you're so smart, Keisha. Jesus said it. Jesus said you'll always have poor people. So the Soviet Union, they had their October Revolution where they took over the government. They murdered tens of millions of people eventually because they wanted to their goal was to end poverty. And you know what they did? It was please pass the poverty. Everyone became equally poor, except for the liberals who were in charge of it all. They were reasonably wealthy, but tens of millions of people became poor. Same thing in China. China, communist countries, want to do away with poverty. So everyone becomes poor, and they think they all have money because they're all poor. Actually, no, they know they're all poor.
It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. You will always have the poor. Always. And, you know, liberals talk about people falling through the net. You don't want anybody to fall through the social safety net. Well, the safety net is a hammock. And millions of people are just swinging themselves to sleep. Letting other people buy their food, clothing, housing, medical care, education. And when the government does that, it destroys the self-respect of the people who are addicted to the welfare.
Yes.
You know what we call it? We call it the soft racism of low expectations, the soft bigotry of low expectations. Liberals expect that millions of people in demographic groups can't provide for themselves. So they get them addicted to handouts and thereby destroy their lives. So, hey, thank you, Keisha.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. Please call in again. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to, let's see, to New York. Hey, Dan, Hey, Dan, you there?
I'm here.
All right, we're almost up to a break.
Okay, want me to hang on?
I gave my board op a heart attack. So, yeah, hang on, all right?
All righty.
All right, we'll be back with Dan. Daniel's Den Bookstore in New York. Good bookstore. I've heard about it, and I live in Denver. It's got to be a good bookstore. I heard about it on a radio recently. All right. Hey, anyway, our phone number, 1-800-8-NER. We're going to come back a little bit more from Marvin Alasky, Christian from World Magazine. All right. Live commercial break. And this is just for people on the internet. So let's see here. Now I'm looking at our materials. We have videos, seminars on audio albums, and monthly Bible studies and literature. Literature, we have The Plot, and we have a book called To Train Up a Child. What a great book about raising kids. And you can get the book To Train Up a Child, and we ship it along with an audio cassette of messages that I've delivered on raising kids. And then you get that, and then you come over to our house and you see how our kids are doing, and you find out, you know, is it worth it to listen to this stuff? Well, we have some pretty neat kids, and we haven't executed any of them to date. So you got to know we've got some pretty good kids. To Train Up a Child. So that's 1995, the little booklet with an audio cassette. And then we have the syllabus for God's Criminal Justice System seminar and an article pack. That's fun. We've got articles that I've written over the years on terrorism, Nicer Than God, Judge Rightly, The Death Penalty. Now, that death penalty pamphlet, that's got one gross cover. It's an actual photo of a guy being beheaded with a sword. I think it was in Pakistan or something. Just getting his head chopped off. And so anyway, we got to get a new photograph for the cover of that pamphlet. We got to just put maybe an electric chair or something instead of a guy's head actually falling off and blood spurting out and all. That's gross. Anyway, see, too many people in the studio audience like it. You guys are weird. And then we've got a pamphlet on miracles. Now, we don't always put that miracles pamphlet in the article pack. You guys do? Oh, you're troublemakers. That miracles pamphlet, that is one big pile of trouble, that pamphlet. And another on overpopulation. That's one of my favorites. So you can get the article pack, find out about the articles we have. It's a good way to introduce people to Bob and Yurt Live and our Bible teaching ministry. And then if you get one of them that you really like say the miracles one. No, don't do the miracles one. Maybe the death penalty. No, that's too gross. Maybe Judge Rightly. Then you could order a bulk article pack, get 200 of them. One 800 8 N Yards 1-800-836-9278. So Dan in New York. Dan, what town are you in?
We're in Batavia, New York, Bob.
Batavia.
Right. And a little plug for our store.
Yeah, Daniel's Den.
Let me give you my website.
All right.
So even you could look on it.
Wait, could people buy books over your website?
Oh yeah. And what Bob is nice about this is that I told you before we go through a Christian distributor.
Right, not the
one that was bought out and they promote homosexuality.
Well, give us the name of that distributor, the bad one.
Well, it's Ingram. They bought out Spring Arbor. And about a year ago, I got a book from them by mistake. And it was a type of book you would find in an adult bookstore.
Oh, boy.
And they talked about fisting.
Oh,
and just
no.
Stuff that, and this was from a Christian distributor. So we now go through Riverside Distributor.
Riverside is Christian.
In Iowa.
That's great.
Their motto is serving him, serving you. The website is www.danielsden.fnc.com.
Wait a minute now. Daniel's Den. Dot what?
Daniel's Den.
Yeah.
Dot. F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, C as in Charles.
.com.
And it's a great distributor. They're all Christians. In fact, individuals that were working for Spring Arbor, when they were brought out, they actually left and went to Riverside.
Okay, cool.
So I'll give Riverside a plug.
All right. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, and it was a hard decision. We lost money, but you know what? I don't care.
Oh, right.
You know, and anyhow, a couple comments on that faith-based initiative.
Yeah.
I wonder whatever happened to separation of church and state.
Yeah, right.
Yes, it's almost when it's convenient for the state that they bring that up.
Right. Like the, you know, the United Methodists, who are big on separation of church and state, they're not going to bring that up with the faith-based initiatives. They're going to see the millions of dollars that could be funneled through their churches. Oh boy, and they're gonna not worry about separation of church and state for a while.
Right, and this, another comment is that we're supposed to be good stewards of our money. They say a dollar that goes to the federal government comes back as 30 cents.
Well, the federal government is this huge middleman.
Right.
You know, one of the most bloated and inefficient bureaucracies in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
Dan, just for a moment on that.
Yeah.
Think about it. The American people need financial help.
Right.
So the solution is the government will take $1 billion from them in a year and give back half a billion.
Less than a half a billion, Bob.
Well, I know, but just to simplify for the public, for the public school teachers who are tuning in.
All right. Okay. This thing gets $750 million.
Yeah, right. So this is how the government helps the people, is that they take $1 billion from us and they give back a half a billion. And you know what? They take it, and they don't only give it to the poor, they give it to the wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Like senior citizens, if you look at demographics, senior citizens are way better off than young married couples with kids in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a demographic group, senior citizens got money, they drive nicer cars, they take better vacations, they got more in the bank than a 22-year-old families with three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the government taxes the 23-year-old families to the breaking point, and they give billions of dollars a year to senior citizens.
Right.
So it's not just that the liberals in the government want to give money to the poor. They want to give it to the wealthy, too.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give it to everybody so that they can take a cut.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is we don't know where our money's going to be going. I know that there is actually an office across the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C.
Dan, a little louder.
Another thing is where our money is going.
Yeah.
You know, what churches. I know in Washington, D.C., there's an office across from the Supreme Court building.
Yeah.
It's a church organization, and their objective is to make sure abortion stays legal.
Oh, yeah, so, you're not kidding. Churches all over the country. Hey, we had a woman walk up to our home today.
Mm-hmm.
She is campaigning for Colorado District 4 or something. I have her pamphlet somewhere around here. And she said, oh, I'm running for – I don't even care about her name. She's a Democrat running for Colorado, you know, House of Representatives. And she said, I want to know if there's anything you're concerned about so I could represent you. And I said, well, what is your position on abortion? And she was with an 18-year-old guy. I thought maybe it was her son, some campaign worker. And I said, what is your position on abortion? She said, well, what do you mean? I said, that's a pretty straightforward question. And she said, no, it's not. I said, okay, a 12-week-old baby in the womb sucking his thumb and playing with his toes. Do you think it should be legal to rip his arms off and kill him? And she said, well, I'm pro-choice. And I said, that would make you a child killer.
Did you close the door on her?
No, I sort of chased her as she went on the sidewalk, followed her, yelling at her, calling her a child killer.
Well, you know, being involved in politics somewhat, when I see anybody that's pro-choice, they might as well put a swastika on their arm because there's no difference, Bob.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Dan, thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.
God bless you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Now in Chicopee, Massachusetts, Ken, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
That's good. I enjoy your program. I appreciate your comments and your points of view so very much.
Thank you.
I've got a question that maybe I might be interpreting it wrong.
All right.
In 2000, Massachusetts residents went to the polls, and on the ballot was a question, do we want charitable contributions to be deducted? And the overwhelming consensus by the voters was, yes, we do. So we thought that I tithe automatically. So I thought, well, Mom, I'll be able to give a little bit more now and localize the charity to the churches rather than giving it to the state and the federal government.
In other words, if you give 10% of $50,000 a year to your church, $5,000, then you don't have to pay taxes on that. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, if we itemize. I don't itemize.
If you itemize, and that's talking about the state taxation.
Right. I think the federal gives us if you itemize, you can take a deduction for charitable contributions.
And if you don't itemize, you can take a standard deduction.
Right. But Massachusetts didn't have that. We voted to, we'd go ahead and like to do that. And I thought it would was going in the right direction. It would more centralize the welfare program. You know, the churches would get more involved in helping the local community.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret it anyway. Well, because of the budget cuts this year, the House of Representatives and the Senate took that right away from us. So any extra giving, it's just your reward will be in heaven.
Yeah, well, one bad thing about a tax code is when it's complicated.
Yeah.
Because when it's complicated, that means that the government is involved in social engineering. And they're trying to decide how much money should flow where. And the government is no good at that.
Okay, I got in the beginning of your program, you mentioned that, and I didn't realize it, that it's just it's getting us involved in the government's welfare program is what it is.
Well,
that's what it sounded like.
Actually, what you voted on, I would say, is different than that.
Okay.
You know, Bush's faith-based initiative where he's going to take welfare money and give it to churches so they could dole it out.
Uh-huh.
That's bad because we should be against welfare.
Sure.
God has given the government the authority to do certain things, just like he's given the family and the church. And we shouldn't usurp the commands that God has given to one institution by another institution. Like, I can't break into my neighbor's home and recover stolen property. That's something that God told the government to do. God authorized the government to do that, not the church, not a family. And similarly, God authorized individuals and families to help the poor, not the church.
Sure.
So the way the government, they decide they want to help the poor so the poor will vote for them. So the government, by force, robs money from people so they can dish it out in ways to try to get people to vote for them. And that's all despicable. God said, thou shalt not steal. And socialism is stealing. Welfare is stealing.
Sure.
So
thanks an awful lot for your program, John.
Thank you, Ken, for calling in. God bless you.
You too.
And so what we want is a simple tax code, a 5% flat tax, 5% flat tax, that's it. Now, some conservatives support a sales tax. You know why? Because they're stupid. That's why. God in the Bible addresses taxation, and he doesn't say have a sales tax, because the sales tax is a huge mistake. For one, I have a business. So the government tells me you have to collect 18% taxes, 20% taxes. I don't want to be a tax collector. I didn't sign up to be a tax collector. I'm not volunteering to be a tax collector. I'm going to do everything I can to undermine tax collecting in that way. The government does not have a right to conscript me, forced servitude, to force a person into becoming a tax collector. Does it? Does the government have the right to force a businessman into becoming a tax collector? The answer is no. Each individual has the responsibility to pay his own taxes. And if he doesn't pay his taxes, it's stealing, and he could be forced to pay, restitution of another 100% on top of what he owed, and he could be flogged. That's pretty simple. And he owes 5%. That's pretty simple. You have a sales tax, and then people who are strangers meet in the dark of night to conduct business, and they conspire together to defraud the government. That's what sales tax does. A sales tax is a systemic way to get people to conspire together to commit crimes. Sales tax is a huge liberal boondoggle of a bad idea. And so many conservatives support it. Why? Because they're reactionary. They don't like the IRS, so let's have a sales tax. We don't like that there's tens of thousands of people working for the IRS. We want about 10 million people working in the federal government's tax collection army. Christians are lunatics. But how many Christians have taken a survey of what the Bible says about taxes so that they have an informed opinion on it? I mean, of the Christians who take a strong stand about taxes, speak out and say, this is what we should do. This should be our tax policy. Oh, what does God say about taxes? Well, I don't know, but I know what the Libertarian Party says about it. Well, they're all going to hell. What does God say about it? This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.